Verse 33, Luke chapter 4 and verse 33. I love when the Lord puts messages like this on my heart. You got to hear what thus saith the Lord. The Lord spoke in my spirit many years ago and said, you are a, doesn't mean it's exhaustive or the only way, but he says you are a deliverance preacher. Which means when you speak the word of God and I speak through you, people are going to be delivered. If they mix the word of God with faith, they are going to be delivered and they are going to be empowered. You make sure in your ministry you educate the people in the word of God, the power that is on the inside of them. Hallelujah. I want to tell you there is a power working inside of you if you would believe it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And cried out with a loud voice. So the unclean spirit began to cry out of this man. And what he said was, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Question mark. But it's a rhetorical question because of what they say at the next phrase. I know who thou art. The Holy One of God. Please follow me. This unclean spirit, this demonic influence, spoke up and out of his own mouth, he declared, he said, I know who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. If that's what he said, then my message is totally fitting. My title is totally acceptable. My title makes complete sense in my mind, and I hope it does to you as well. And the title of the message is The Devil is a Dummy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt your name. We praise your name. No other one is worthy of exaltation but you. I will glorify you in all things. I will praise you in all things. I will magnify you in all things. And the more I magnify you, the more I see there's nothing that can stand against me. So long as I lift up the name of God Almighty, no matter what comes my way, I know there is an overcoming spirit that's pushing me to greatness, that's pushing me to be a conqueror, that wants to change every avenue in my life for the positive. I'm so thankful I serve a great and mighty and strong and powerful God that cannot be thwarted from his will. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm so thankful that you are the one true God and that nothing and no one can stand in your presence. Oh God, there's none like you. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And my desire, God, is that true revelation, not hype, oh God, not emotionalism, but a true understanding, a true empowerment of the understanding of the power of our God. And that when we transition to a new understanding on that level, we are not going to be the same. We are going to go forward and we're going to do great things for God. If you believe it, clap your hands right now and say, I believe it, I want it, I desire it, I'm hungry for it. Praise God. You may be seated here in the presence of the Lord. The Bible, the word of the Lord, is at many times not looked at enough in its totality concerning the issues that go on in our lives. The Bible is not being used as the primary source to fight against the thing that is fighting against us. And because it is not the primary source and weapon we are using in the fight in our lives, it seems that many times the devil is somehow the all-powerful being that continues to always put us in a corner. It seems that we are always on the defensive and we see him waging war against our lives, waging war against our marriages, waging war against our relationships, waging war against our health, waging war against our finances, waging war against our developing in our ministry and in our calling, because God is trying to call some of you if you don't know it yet. God is trying to pull some of you into ministry, into service, into commitment, into dedication and consecration. Ways in which we feel that when things in our relationships aren't going well, that we have now no power in that place. And the devil, simply we say, is just stronger than we are. You don't say it maybe by your words, you say it by your actions. And you really do say it by your words because your words are filled with negativity. Come on, somebody, say amen. Ways in which if a new situation comes up in our lives and all of a sudden, just because something new and difficult has happened to us, all of a sudden, we feel like we don't have any tools or resources to combat the onslaught of the attack. Someone say amen. Because he's waging war against our minds and our mentality, and it causes us to forget what the Word of God has already said. He seemingly puts up these huge barriers that we have mental blocks on who we serve. It seems that we are always on the defensive and we see him waging war against our mind, and he works very, very hard to cause us to again think that he is just some all-powerful being that comes in and brings in multiple situational changes in our environment, and that when he seemingly does all these things and he brings changes in our environment, we're trapped. And then now we are absolutely, without any question, we're forced to be depressed. We have no choice. We are forced to be in a bad mood. We are forced to act out of our character. We are forced to get angry and sin. We are forced to lose hope. We are forced to shake our heads in defeat like he just has so much authority over us. Can I tell you that yes, the enemy does work within our environment, because that is the only place he is able to work in, because he wants to allow the natural to be a false illusion that he is so powerful. So he works in the environment to create in your mind that he is so much in control of everything that happens in your environment. But the Bible clearly states that the enemy cometh not but to kill, to steal, to kill and destroy. So if he then comes as a thief, he works then in deceit and trickery, because no thief is going to steal right in front of you. If I'm a thief, Sister Barlow, I'm not going to walk up to your new iPhone that we got you, praise God, and just grab it. Trust and believe, grab this iPhone that she got, and you might get dinner in the head. Now, I mean that. I mean, don't try me. Don't test me. The enemy has to be slick. The enemy has to use deceit. The enemy has to use trickery in order for him to operate in the level that he operates in. Someone say amen. So the thief, that he's the one that wants to steal your confidence in the very thing that makes him so powerful. He has to steal your confidence in God. The first thing he said was he comes to steal. Because when you are stolen from, have anybody ever been robbed before? The first feeling, maybe you can agree with me, that I receive when I've been robbed is I feel hopeless. Or helpless is a better word. You remember that way? Somebody robbed me, I feel helpless. I feel so vulnerable. So the enemy wants to come and steal your confidence in God, because when he steals your confidence in God, you are very vulnerable and you feel very helpless. You feel like that he is just in a better position than you are. He steals from you by distracting you into a false belief about a few things. Number one, he has to steal your confidence in the Word of God. Number two, he has to steal your confidence in what you think about yourself. He wants to take the word of God from you. That's why the Bible says that the seed is the word of God, and the sower goes out, but the enemy, the devil, comes to try to steal the seed so that it won't find a good place in you. Because if the word of God ever gets rooted in somebody's heart, if the word of God ever got rooted inside of you, let me tell you, there ain't not one thing the devil can do to stop you when you are operating under the power and the word of God. When you understand that you should not be moved because you have a word from the Lord, but the devil knows that, so he has to steal that word from you. And then he has to steal your confidence in what you think about yourself. You want to beat yourself up. You want to think less of yourself. You want to think that you cannot advance. You cannot go forward. Why? Because you continue to look at your past. And the devil brings up your past. But the word of God says, forget about your past and reach for what God has you for your future. And when you start believing the word of God, you start saying, thank you, God, that I'm still here in the middle of my bad past, which tells me I still got a future in you. Because if my past was able to stop me, you would not be here right now. And so the very fact you're here right now tells me that God has a great future for you. I wish somebody would believe the word of God right now. I'm going to tell you before this is over, the devil, he is a dummy. And I want to say right now, I am sick and tired of it. I am wanting the people of God to know biblically speaking, not my own opinion, not because I'm trying to hype you up, but I want you to know biblically speaking, the word of God that backs me up, that they have everything they need to walk in victory. Did you hear what I said? The word of God has given us everything that pertains to godliness and eternal life. And he wants us to know that the one thing that you should be overwhelmed in. If you feel overwhelmed, I come to oppose that spirit. If you feel like you're drowning, I come to say, I'm sending you out a lifeboat, a lifesaver, and tell you everything is going to be all right. Because I'm going to show you that God is not lack concerning his promises. And the word of God, when it gets inside of our spirit, I find out the word of God is an equipper. I find the word of God is something that anoints my heart and my mind. I find the word of God is something that empowers me. I come to you not because of myself. I come to you with confidence because I'm confident in the word of the Lord. And when I have the word of God behind me, let every man be a liar. But the word of God is going to stand true in the face of all of my adversity. And so I will say of the Lord, victory, victory shall be mine. And I want us to read the rest of the scripture that gives revelation concerning our enemy. Yes, the first part does say, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the problem is too many of us focus on the first part of that verse. The only reason why God even gave the first part of that verse is so he could show you the contrast. The reason why we know there's light is because there's darkness. And so God says, yeah, the enemy has a plan, but that's all right. I have a greater plan. And he said, but I come. He said, but that means you must continue on the phrase and don't leave a period there, but continue on what I have to say about your life. I have come to give you life and that much more abundantly, which means when it seemed like Satan has power in my life, I turn the chapter and say, God must be ready to do something because he cannot get more praise than what God gets. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. If you're going through a dark time, you should be looking for some light. You should be looking for some revelation. Am I talking to anybody here that feels overwhelmed? I'm going to tell you, you are the right place right now because the enemy has a plan. God has a counter plan that will always usurp the plan of the enemy. You see, as I read, as I study the word of God as a whole, I see multiple upon multiple situations that Satan is more related. Now follow my illustration here. I'm going to say this again. As I read and as I study the word of God, I see multiple upon multiple situations that Satan is more related to the wild e-coyote in Looney Tunes. Than he is some ruler of what God has called. The problem with a lot of us is that we give a lot of credit to the devil without, I'm going to say without, also realizing there is someone who knows and has our best interests in mind. We have to learn to focus more of our attention on what God wants to do than we do on what Satan is trying to do. I know it might get a little tight right now because a lot of you like to glorify the devil. I'm not glorifying him one bit because the only way I give him glory is in the mindset of a wild coyote. Everything you do comes to destroy your own self. You ain't hearing what I'm saying. If you ever watched a Looney Tune cartoon, the Wile E. Coyote, he was a master genius. You would see his floor plans. They were awesome. They were geographically put together. They were geometrically put together very well. He was a master builder, a master planner, a master schemer. Anybody ever watched the Looney Tunes before? And Wile E. Coyote, he had all these diagrams on how he would take out the road runner. But every time he tried to take out the road runner, it did not matter how wily, how cool, how genius he was, it always turned back on him. So you see how I view the devil? You're just a Wile E. Coyote. I know you're scheming. I know you're preparing. I know you're planning. But it ain't gonna work. Devil, you a dummy. You keep on trying to take me out. You keep on trying to move me backwards. I ain't moving backwards because God will turn it around for my good. Devil, you a dummy. You a wily coyote. You keep on scheming. You keep on planning. Didn't you see the anvil hit you last week? Didn't you see the anvil hit you last episode? How many times are you gonna run into a wall? I need some road runners to rise up in this hour and recognize your devil is a dummy. I want to preach to you that Satan is the same kind of dummy, that if we begin to have the same confidence the roadrunner had, we wouldn't be so intimidated by his trickery. The cartoonist drew roadrunner with such this sarcastic face on him. Such this, you're an idiot, devil. Look, because the roadrunner was built with a character that says, nothing you go do, go catch me. Nothing you go do, go try me. Nothing you go do, go try me. Is there any road runners here that say there's a power inside of me? Devil, whatever you do, you go end up the dummy. I'm going to come up and be the head and not the tail. God go make a way when it seems like there is no way. Can I give you scripture here then? The Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When I get a knowledge of God, there ain't nothing that can be exalted above the power of God. Stop glorifying your enemy. Stop glorifying your problems. Exalt the name of Jesus. If you exalt the name of Jesus, automatically Satan's kingdom has to come down. Automatically your problems are not what they used to be, because every thought has to come into obedience and subjection of Christ. I want to stop real quick and make the scripture in 2 Corinthians and quickly make it practical for you through the story of the book of Esther. Haman was an evil prince that is absolutely a representation of the devil, whose goal, whose only plot, whose only plan was to cause problems amongst the people of God. And not only did he want to cause problems among the people of God and make them lose their confidence in God, he wanted to destroy the people of God. Let me tell you, yes, Satan does want to destroy the people of God. Yes, Satan is trying to plot. Yes, he's trying to move in your life. He wanted Mordecai, a child of God, to bow down to him as he wants you to bow down to him and give him honor and give him glory and give him adoration. But Mordecai said, I'm not going to give you glory. I'm not going to give you honor. I'm not going to give you the time of day. Mordecai had no respect for the enemy. I don't respect the enemy in that way. I will not bow. I will not be intimidated by his trickery. I will not be intimidated by his attacks. I don't care how low it might seem. I am not going to bow. You might think when the decree was made, maybe Mordecai, that's your moment to go to humble yourself and bow yourself before the enemy. Maybe he'll let up. I don't care how bad it is. Don't you ever let go of your praise. Don't let go of your worship. You serve one true living God. And though it feels like the enemy has sent decrees against you, don't you put your head down. You'd never see Mordecai put his head down. He always walked with confidence. Somebody might have pulled at a shirt tail and say, don't you see what's written against you and your people? You're about to die. You're about to be taken out. And right now, some of you feel like you're going down. Keep your head up and say, no, I'm not. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I'm not bound down to that dumb devil. I'm not bound down to his will. I know somehow, some way, God gonna show up. You gotta get that mentality. Somehow, some way, God gonna show up. So until then, I raise my hand. I open my mouth. I bless him. I praise him because God is about to show up in the middle of the attack of my enemy. And the devil, Haman, so dumb. Mordecai wouldn't bow. So Haman was enraged and began to put all his attention on Mordecai. All his attention on trying to take him out. In fact, with his dumb self, he woke up and he got up in the wee hours of the night and he said, I got an idea. I'll go to the king. I got a high position in this kingdom. So I'll go to the king. And out to the king about this man named Mordecai who has certain ways about him, and the king will destroy him. And so Haman got up in the wee hours of the night and went to the king's palace with his dumb self. And he knocked on the door, and the king had a dream from God. So in the middle of Haman's plot, God gave the king a dream. See, we keep on forgetting that God also has a plan. We keep seeing the enemy moving. But all the time, God gave the king a dream concerning the blessing that Mordecai gave to him. Now, why didn't he have the dream the night before? You see, you think God's missing you. You think God is not there. No, God is positioning people to bless you because he's waiting on the dumb devil. I'm not going to give you the dream just yet. I'm not going to bless you just yet. I'm going to wait till the enemy has you in a corner where he think he has the upper hand. And then I'm going to show up and present myself as more powerful than the enemy. In fact, if I'm correct with my understanding and revelation of scripture, it was a hand of God that says, I'm going to use Haman to promote my man. Maybe the trial you're going through is God trying to set you up to promote you. Maybe the attack you're facing, oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. Maybe the attack you're facing is God saying, come on, don't you lose your faith in me. I'm setting up the dumb devil. He thinks he's taking you out. Don't back up. I got a plan that's going to turn it around. I got to show myself greater than the enemy. So here comes Haman and his arrogant self. Sick of this. Mordecai, and I got clout with this king. And he comes in. King, hold on a second. King says, hey, Haman, what shall be done to the man that pleases the king? And the devil is like, man, I got great timing. Not only am I going to get Mordecai? I'm about to be promoted. The enemy's feeling good about his position, his place. So he says, thinking that it was going to be him, well, you should take the king's royal apparel. Take that mighty steed that he rides. Give him a ovation among the people and make a high honored person
shout as loud as they can, this is what shall be done to the man who pleases the king. Haman's like in his mind, ooh-wee, about to get honor. The king says, Haman, thank you for what you just gave me. Everything you just said, everything you want to happen, all the honor that you want to give it to Mordecai. Silence, sir, in my presence. Go and do it now. And the enemy with his dumb self had to put the person he hated the most and put him up on us. Y'all ain't hearing me today. I'm preaching as best I can. And he had to say, he didn't want to say it, but let me tell you, he has to say it. Blessed is the man who pleases the king. Are you a God pleaser? Satan's about to elevate you himself. He don't want to, but he has to. He don't like it. It don't matter. Devil, you're a dummy. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, if I keep my focus on the one that's called me, it might be dark right now, but in the middle of my darkness, God can elevate somebody. God can help somebody. God can bring somebody through. Now, I would think at that moment, Haman, leave it alone, bro. Come on, man. Stop. He goes home angry. And even his family said, you're a dummy. You want to believe me? Go to Esther chapter 6, verse 13. Haman, you just saw a most humiliating situation where you honored the man you hate the most, the one you're trying to destroy. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had be what? Fallen. Because Satan's always sees his kingdom going down. Then said his what? Wise men. People that were smart. People who had wisdom. And his wife too. Said, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews. The Bible says that we are the seed of Abraham through faith. So if you walk with faith, the family of the enemy is also declaring for you that before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If God before you, who can be against you? Even the wife of the enemy had to recognize, I know you're trying hard, Haman, to take out Mordecai, but if he's a seed of the Jews, if they're a child of faith, if they believe in the word of God, it don't matter what you do, it ain't gonna work. He didn't even listen. Well, what a dummy he was. He was warned by his closest companions, by his wife, but he said, make a 50-foot gallows anyway. You see, you know the rest of the story, but what you forget is in your own life, the enemy, and for your life, what you're dealing with, that's a 50-foot gallows he's setting up for you. Issues in your marriage, issues in your home, issues in your mind, and issues in your spirits are 50-foot gallows that he's trying to hang you with. How many feel like you're suffocating in your life? You got suffocating situations going on, and it feels like the whole world is suffocating you, pulling themselves on you. Building these towers up to hang you on. And that's the same place that Mordecai was in. You got to put yourself right there. Before it was all over, you know the story. That Esther got a spirit of boldness inside of her. And then the king said, go find Haman. And the thing that Haman built to destroy you, let him hang himself on it. Can I tell you, the devil is a dummy. Every trap he's setting up is only for himself. And so when you come in, when you see him coming in, don't be intimidated by it. That's the moment you should be rejoicing. Come on, I'm going to change your attitude and your mentality. Stop saying the devil is in my messing it up. Or if you say it, say it with a different tone. The devil's in my life trying to mess it up. The devil's trying to mess up my life. I'm getting giddy because I'm getting ready for a blessing. If the devil's in your life, he's a dummy. God's about to turn some stuff around for you. Oh, I got to preach this thing. We find in the book of Exodus, the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hard. And why? In the world was his heart hardened? Because he was a dummy. I mean, didn't you see the rod go down and turn into a serpent? And then your stupid wise men tried to do the same thing. Didn't you see Moses, how his snake ate the rest of them? I mean, are you some kind of fool? And then you kept on seeing plague after plague, to where even his wise men said, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and we can't match it. And yet, he hardened his heart. I always question why. Why did he keep on hardening his heart? And the Lord said, the devil's a dummy. But we got more straw. But we got more problems. Pastor, I've been praying and fasting more, and now I got more problems in my life. Is that not what happened to Israel?
Come on.
Let my people go. Pharaoh said, give them more work to do and take away the straw. And what did they do? Moses, Aaron, I thought you said that God was going to deliver us, and now we have more work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you are trying to consecrate, and then something happens, so now you don't want to consecrate no more. God's trying to take you to a new level in him, and then something rises up, and you buckle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why I'm preaching it so hard is God is taking some of you all to new levels. He's trying to expose you to the miraculous. And the more you consecrate, yes, I get it. The devil might to attack you. Get ready. That attack's about to be turned around. And he may harden the heart of your enemy. And things might get harder. Things might get rougher. Things might get turned upside down. Can I tell you, you're getting closer to your breakthrough. And all of a sudden, we find out that after all those plagues, and while there was darkness in the middle of a sunny day in Egypt, the Lord sent down darkness, and then he still hardened his heart. And then after that, his own son was killed by the death angel. Come on, Pharaoh, take a hint. Come on, devil, don't you see that God is bigger, God is stronger, God is mightier? And for one moment, he said, Go ahead and worship your God. Go ahead and give God praise. Go ahead and get out of my sight. I recognize he's bigger for a moment. And God has brought some of you out of Egypt, and you're headed towards a promised land, and things are going well. You made progression. Things are going well. Pharaoh is behind us, and we're going to the promised land where, the praise God, there's milk and honey. There's cities that we're going to live in that we didn't build, houses we didn't build, vineyards we didn't plant. I could smell it. I could almost taste it. I'm walking towards the blessings of God. You got a pep in your step. I know how you walk, Ronnie, and you're feeling good. I love this church. I love the word. I love the people. God is progressing my life, and you're praising, and you're magnifying God, and you're going a little bit deeper. But all of a sudden, you're starting to hear a little noise, and you're saying it's not coming from our camp. You're starting to see a little bit of distractions going on. And you're starting to say, wait a minute, is that a chariot I hear? Are those a neighing of horses I hear? And now look at us, what in the world? We're heading straight towards the sea. The Red Sea. I thought, Moses, we got to a point where this was all behind. I thought there was some stuff I conquered. I thought there was some stuff I won over. I had victory over. And now it seemed like the position I'm in now is worse than when I first begun. I got kind of used to being a slave. I knew how to cope with it.
I knew how to deal with it. I knew if I just stayed in my place, I wouldn't be bothered by the enemy. I know if I didn't get out of line, if I kept my praise kind of quiet, if I just kind of stayed in order, if I didn't make too much fuss, if I didn't get fanatical, everything in my life was fine. And now I stood up and I got pulled and we're crossing over. But now I'm in the worst position of my life. Maybe it would have been better to stay in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. But I'm not really talking about sometimes our lack of faith. That's another message. The message is dumb Pharaoh. Pharaoh's thinking, I'll have another son. But I need these people to continue to build my kingdom. I got to keep on bullying them and bashing them and keeping them slaves and keeping them in their old mentality with their old mindsets. I don't want to let go of my grip of depression upon them, of fear upon them, of doubt and worry upon them. I want to keep my kingdom built upon their sorrow. And the devil is trying to build a kingdom upon your problems. He's rejoicing. He's laughing at some of us of what we're facing because he says, look at me. Kick them to the side. Look at me. Put them down. And he says, I'm going to get them back. And I'm telling for the Holy Ghost, God is telling somebody that Satan is trying to pull you back. He's trying to go after you after you've already seen the miraculous. The majority of you people here on the sound of my voice know that there's a God and he's made a way. You know God has been good to you. You know he's fought battles. You know it was him that sent down great signs and wanted to get you where you are right now. But sometimes after that great victory, you find yourself in a hard place. After your deliverance, you find there's a barrier in front of you and the enemy behind you. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. I thought God was on my side.
I did.
We're not an army. We're slaves. And I've never been through what I'm going through right now. And Pharaoh's going after harder and harder, harder and harder. And Moses says, God's going to do it. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. That was Moses' words. It wasn't God's words. God says, move forward. I'm going to tell somebody move forward because God has brought you to that place of difficulty so that you can see that there's not only hope you have is in a miraculous move of God. But when Moses got up there and he began to move the people, move them towards what? Just keep walking in faith. And he raised up his hands and he raised up that rod and the waters parted. Oh, the joy that began to come through their soul and they began to walk on dry land. Notice they didn't say run because if God can do this, I don't have to run away from the enemy. I'm walking again in confidence. I walk by faith and not by sight. Is there anybody saying that I'm walking towards my victory? And the devil might be running towards you, but you can walk. Why? Because the devil is a dummy. There ain't no way God go allow a big old sea to be parted open and allow them to come and take me out. So 5 minutes ago, I might have had fear, but I'm not running no more. Is there anybody here that says, I'm not running no more? Come on, somebody. I ain't running no more. If God brought me this far, I'm tired of running. If God brought me this far, I'm tired of worrying. Aren't you tired of worrying and fretting? If God brought you this far, he gonna bring you all the way. If God got you this far, he ain't gonna leave you in the desert. He ain't gonna leave you in that dry place. He ain't gonna leave you in that dry land. Can I tell somebody? Victory is coming over your life. Can I tell somebody? God is parting some stuff to get you out. So they begin to walk, and I see and I feel in my mind as I relate the story, the Israelites begin to giggle a little bit. He's that stupid? He's still coming? Does he see these walls of water? Does he see what's happening right now? If I was an Egyptian slave, I'd be like, I think I hear somebody calling me. I'm going AWOL. There ain't no way I'm going to keep on going.
chasing these people that their God has parted a sea for them. God has done the miraculous, and it's time for the children of God to recognize it. If God's doing the miraculous, stop running. And the Egyptians kept on coming with their dumb selves. And what happened? They died. You know the story. Once all the Israelites crossed over, Moses said, that's like you. The devil gotta be a dummy. He's gonna keep on chasing you. Yes, he'll keep on fighting you. Smile. Smile. Because God is setting him up. Balak, come on, Balaam, keep on cursing the people of God. You dummy, he already told you that when he opens his mouth, he can't speak a curse over your life. And yet he continued to open his mouth. Devil, you must be some kind of dummy to keep on opening up your mouth. And as you open your mouth to curse me, nothing but blessings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God won't allow the devil to speak nothing over your life that he won't prepare to conquer you in the middle of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go back to the book of Job and hear the devil, Lord, wants to have a little bit of fun here. Is God having a sense of humor? Does God have a sense of humor about me and you? Hey, Satan, what you up to? Man, Lord, I've been to and fro trying to get your people. Well, what about put your name on it. Have you considered Job? Job only serves you because of your hedge. The people of God at Lighthouse only serve you because of your protection. Start messing with their life, and they'll curse you. Is there any Jobs here? Satan, you're a dummy. If God initiated the person that you could touch, it probably means that's not a good candidate for you to touch. If Satan is touching, y'all ain't hearing me. If Satan is touching you, maybe he had a conversation that God initiated. Are you hearing what I'm trying to? Revelation's flowing right now. If the Satan is attacking you, maybe he is being led by God. Maybe God initiated the conversation. And so what you got to say is, God trusts me. God believes that I can stand in the middle of the fire. God trusts me, has confidence that I'm not going to curse him. I tell you, yes, if Satan is on your life, you should be praising God. If Satan's bothering you, you should be worshiping God, because you're saying, the devil's a dummy. God's about to do something. God's going to tear my enemy down. Now I'm closing. Bringing it home. Devil, you said in Luke 4, 33, 34, and 41, the devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak. Why? For they knew that he was the Christ. I said, I'm not okay with this verse. I said, no, I am not okay with this verse. Are you guys nervous yet? What do you mean you're not okay with the words in the Bible? Yeah, I'm not okay with it. Satan, how can you say you knew that he was a Christ? Satan, how can you plot in the heart of King Herod to kill all the male children ages 2 years old and under because you knew he was the Son of God and yet you didn't get him? How can you say that you thought he was the Messiah, the Son of God in flesh? You thought that now that he was in an earthly body, this was your opportunity to finally get at God's plan? Really? You out of your own mouth said he's the Messiah, you know who he is, and yet
You still are trying to kill him? So what I said, the scripture is not maybe all that we are presenting or receiving. Yes, it's saying he knew that he was the Son of God. But that doesn't mean he knew the purpose. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Just because Satan knows something mentally does not mean he understands what's going on spiritually. Because you got to be a dummy that if you say you knew who he was, you should have did everything you could to keep that man alive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the problem is the devil is a dummy. And even with him knowing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament, even though it was in the beginning of the book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that says that Satan will bruise his heel, but the son and the seed would crush his head, he still thought it would be wise to kill the man Christ Jesus. Because if I kill the man Christ Jesus, I then will destroy the plan of God. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Devil, you gotta be a dummy that you don't recognize the reason why he came was to give his life. And because the devil is a dummy, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:6, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. I skip over that phrase every single time, but not this time. That phrase says comes to naught. Whatever Satan has against you, if you believe in the power of God, it will come to naught. It will not perform what he seeks after. The only thing that will come to pass is the word and the will of God. So, Pastor, what are you saying? That our prayer must be, God, get me connected to your purpose. God, get me connected to your plan. Because if I'm connected to the purpose and the plan of God, there ain't nothing that Satan can do to you. Nothing. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Can the Bible contradict this now? In Luke it said they did know. In Corinthians it said they did not know. Which one is it? Can the Bible lie? The Bible can't contradict this now. So they didn't understand the purpose. Let me tell you right now, Satan does not even know the purpose of your life. Please hear me. He knows that God's hand's on you, but he don't know your purpose. So that's why he's trying to stop you. What he's so dumb about is that while he's trying to stop you, it's actually taking you to your purpose. He doesn't know how God is doing it. So he's trying to block it. And he's trying to stop your purpose. Can I close in one setting of scripture? We're looking at Joseph. Joseph told his brothers, God gave me a dream a long time ago. And Satan obviously knew that dream. Because Satan knew that Abraham had Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had the 12 sons of Jacob. And Jacob's favorite was Joseph. So if I stop Joseph, I stop the seed of Abraham. If I don't allow Joseph to get where he's supposed to go, then the Israelite people, the children of Abraham, will never be the children of God. So I'm going to put it in his own brother's heart. That's why don't get too mad when a brother or sister rises up against you. I'm not going to be so concerned about what my brothers do to me, because when it's all said and done, everything you do to me is only a part of the purpose of God unfolding in my life. I'm not going to get sideways with you. I'm going to say God is just using, the devil's, everybody's using you to get me where I need to go. So whether you're a devil or whether you're a child of God, you ain't going to stop me from where I'm going. If there's some devils in the church, that's all right. The devil's going to help promote me where God wants me to go. There might be some people that don't got your best interest in mind. That's all right. What you meant for evil, God used it for good. What you tried to kill me with, God used it to turn it around.
I want you to stand on your feet right now. And yes, he went through a pit. And yes, he went to a prison. And the problem is with us, sometimes we'll find ourselves in a pit and we don't want to worship God anymore. No, the devil's a dummy. That pit you're in, that problem you're in, is not your final destination. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him deceive you. Your pit is not your final place. The marriage pit you're dealing with, the financial pit you're dealing with, the emotional pit you're dealing with, you ain't done yet. God is using those pits to promote. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's using your pits. God is using your Potiphar's. God is using your prisons to promote you to your palace. You see how that makes you a little bit different now? Because guess what? You might go through something next week. It's all right. Before, you would go through it and you're crying, you're sobbing, hold me. Now you're not saying, okay, I'm gonna square my shoulders. I'm gonna say, Lord, let me get in your will. Can I give you instruction right now? When you face those devils, when you face those problems, and the first thing you want to do is go back to what you used to do, don't do it no more. Don't go back to Egypt. That ain't the way to go. What you must say is, God, get me in your will. Because so long as I'm in your will, no matter what the devil does, he can't stop the will of God. I might be hurting, but I'm hurting in your will. I might be in a pit, but I'm in your will. Come on, somebody raise your hand. I want you to practice saying, God, let me be in your will. When I'm fighting a battle, when I'm going through it, come on, say it. Say, Lord, let me be in your will. Come on, Lord, let me be in your will. If I'm in your will, there ain't nothing my devil can do. There's nothing the enemy can do so long as I'm in your will. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Your problems are not what should be telling you that you're nothing. Your problems tell you you are worth God leaving the portals of heaven to die for your problems and then tell you, I got you. I came to destroy the works of the devil. So I conclude with telling some of you that are allowing condemnation to take over your spirit and you feel like you're nothing in your walk with God because you have made a mistake and you made it again. And in that place, you seem like it's all right to glorify the devil and say, he got me again. I tell you the word of God, he that sinneth is of the devil, but that's why he came. The blood of Jesus is here to wash away all of your sins. The blood of Jesus tells the devil, I know they're guilty, but I bought them with my own blood. For the Holy Ghost, I know they come short of the glory of God, but that's why I showed up. And so, devil, you are a dummy. You are not going to be able to bring condemnation upon their life anymore, because my blood will continue to be over their life. Is there anybody going through a problem right now where you feel so unworthy? I tell you right now, it's all right to be unworthy. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ says, I got you. You go be all right. Don't ignore the devil. He's a dummy. He's trying to accuse you, but I already overcame the wicked one. And when you stand before the Father, I stand in your place so long as you are covered by my blood. Is there anybody here want to come down to an altar and say, Lord, I want to win. Put your blood upon my life. I want to tell the devil, you're a dummy. I got the blood of Jesus on my life. Come on down to this altar and lift up your hands and say, Lord, I plead your blood, and I declare myself pure. I declare myself holy. I declare myself more than a conqueror. Plead the blood. Thank you for the blood. The devil's a dummy. You are a winner in Jesus. You're a winner in Jesus. When the enemy
comes in like a flood. The Lord will lift up a standard against him, and he won't prosper, no, 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 no. It won't work. Say no at once. If I could get somebody to stand with me tonight and declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against your home. No weapon formed against your children. Say,
it won't work. No weapon formed against me.
Come on, whoever you are, raise your hands. Just ask God to forgive you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you right now. He'll tell you, no matter what you've done, my love cannot be thwarted by the plan of your enemy. I love you today. I love you today. Receive the love of God.
Come on, sing with a loud voice. Put the devil on the run right now. He's not a man that he should lie.
Now praise the Lord like you're crazy. Let me tell you why. Because see, while you clapping your hands and the devil is wreaking havoc in your home, this confuses the enemy. That's because you're not praising him. Because what's going on? You're praising him because you know the outcome is you win. You win because your heavenly Father is getting ready to jump up in this.
I think it's fitting for us right now. I want us at the church to start making some declarations. Start saying, I am the head, I'm not the tail. Start saying, I'm more than a conqueror. There is a power in me. There's a force inside of me. I'm a winner. I am an overcomer. God is taking me places. I trust in the word. I trust in the name of my God. And I will reach the purpose that God has for my life. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is moving. One more time, someone raise your hand right now. I'm praying, God, for impartation upon every hungry vessel. I'm praying.